So I invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, to John chapter 20, and the scriptures are also on the screen if you want to look at those. John chapter 20, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them he had said these things to her. And then if you'll turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, and we'll start reading in verse 34 there in the middle of the chapter. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts those from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. God, we thank you for the truth of your word, and we thank you for the reality of the good news that Jesus is risen. And we invite you in these moments as we look together at the scriptures to transform us, to work in us by your Holy Spirit, to change us so that we are not the same, but so that we become increasingly who you dream of us being, who you desire us to be. And we ask this so that more and more the life of Jesus would be visible in our lives, that he would be seen in who we are and in what we do. And so we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I wonder if you have any Easter traditions in your family. Is there anything that you always do at Easter? Our culture doesn't really know what to do with Easter. Some of the time, our culture tries to commercialize it. I've been kind of astounded this year. If you look at the advertising, apparently Easter is now a time that you need to buy expensive toys for children if you watch commercials. And trying to connect that with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is very strange. You know, Jesus is alive, therefore go out and buy something. That's really the response of our culture all the time, isn't it, to any significant event. You know, okay, something really important, something life-changing has happened, go and consume, go and purchase. Because that's what our culture tries to teach us that we are, is that we're just sort of units of production and consumption. That's why we exist. I was interested. Also, it seems like the media doesn't exactly know what to do with Easter. So last night on television, what movie do they decide to show? They decide to show the Ten Commandments. And, it is Passover week too, but I was thinking about, that's a very strange, in a lot of ways, that I think is an easier message for the culture. Something very old, something that happened a long time ago, something that involves Charlton Heston with a lot of dark makeup on himself, pretending to be, Egyptian, pretending to be Jewish. That works a lot better for our culture than somebody who was killed and now is alive again. Because our culture doesn't really know what to do with Jesus at all, and especially doesn't know what to do with one who has died and now is alive again. What does it mean for us that Jesus has been raised from the dead? How does it shape who we are and how we live? One of the things that we see in the text this morning is that knowing that Jesus has been raised from the dead means that our grief can turn to joy. It means that our grief can turn to joy. If you look at Mary's experience there in the Gospel of John, she hasn't gone to the tomb because she's expecting to find it empty. She's gone to the tomb to mourn. She's gone to the tomb to grieve. She's gone to the tomb to weep. And it is a complete surprise to her when she comes to the tomb and she finds that that stone has been rolled away. And she doesn't know what to do because she's prepared to grieve. She's prepared to mourn. But she's not prepared for a Jesus who isn't in his last known location, who isn't in the last place where she saw him laid. And so she goes and she talks to Peter and John, and she tells them, the tomb's been rolled away. They've done something with his body. I don't know what's going on. And so you have, it's interesting in the Gospel of John, you have this possibly the strangest foot race in the world. And so you see Peter and John, and they're running to the tomb, and John makes the point. He says, now I outran Peter. You know, I want everybody to know that I got there first, but I stopped before I went into the tomb, and then Peter got there, and he went into the tomb first. And so he's sort of doing what the little boy in Jan's story did. He's letting the other person have the pleasure of going into the tomb first, of experiencing that joy. I got the egg, I got the special egg, I got to go into the tomb first. And so Peter looks into the tomb, and he doesn't see He doesn't see Jesus' body. He just sees some of the grave clothes there. And then John looks in and sees that Jesus' body is no longer there in the tomb. And then in the Gospel of John, it says he saw and believed. He saw and believed. And so when he realizes that Jesus is no longer in the tomb, that the one who died on Friday is gone, then that awakens something in him. That awakens in him hope. That awakens in him excitement. That awakens in him joy. And then it's really strange in the Gospel of John, he says, you know, we still didn't get it. We still didn't understand what was going on. We still didn't understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead, but he believed. But he believed. And that's how it's probably always going to be for you and for me, right? That we can believe without completely getting it. Because in our lives, this is something that we're not ever going to completely figure out. This is something that we're not ever going to completely be able to wrap our heads around. But that's okay. Because what we're invited to do is not to understand in a way that takes away all of the joy. We're not invited to say, you know, I've got this figured out. What we're invited to do is to believe and to be transformed by the resurrection, by that knowledge that Jesus is alive. And so we see for Mary, she has this encounter with Jesus, and she's still stuck in that place of mourning. She's still stuck in that place of sorrow. And so she has this dialogue with the angels who are there, and they say, "Who are you looking for?" And then there's Jesus, and she doesn't recognize Jesus. Her grief is still too much for her. And she thinks that he's a gardener. And she says, "Sir, you know, if you'll just tell me where he is, then I'll go and get him. And I can put his body back in the tomb. We can restore things to the way that they are, the way that they were, because I'm here to mourn." But then there's that moment when she sees him for who he is, and her mourning, her grief, is transformed into joy. And Jesus does that same thing today. Because when we mourn, when we grieve, whether it be for a dream that we have given up on, whether it be for someone that we have loved and lost, whatever it is that fills your heart with grief, Jesus comes to us and he says, "Because I am alive, you don't have to grieve anymore. You don't have to mourn anymore, because I have conquered that which causes you to grieve. And the day is coming because of my resurrection, when there's not going to be any mourning, when there's not going to be any grief, when there's not going to be any more crying, when all those things are going to pass away. And so you can experience joy rather than grief, because I am alive," Jesus says. And so we see Mary's grief transformed into joy. One of the other things that the reality of Jesus' resurrection means for us is that God has triumphed over evil. And that victory of God over evil is coming forward in our lives and in our world, and is becoming reality in the world in which we live. And that is incredible good news for us. Jesus died because he was a threat to the political powers of his time and to the religious authorities of his time. They conspired together, the scriptures teach us. because they were threatened by him, because they were afraid of him. They conspired together to have him crucified. And in our world, there is so much evil. All you have to do is look at the news and you see it there. And sometimes when we're honest, all we have to do is look inside ourselves. And we see it there sometimes as well, that we have incredible capacity to hurt other people, that we have incredible capacity to cause harm. And so in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, God is saying evil doesn't have the last word. God, in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, is saying evil doesn't win. It is defeated, Jesus says, because I have been raised from the dead. God, in the resurrection of Jesus, is vindicating Jesus' obedience, is saying, because you trusted me, because you were willing to go to the cross, I'm going to reward your obedience. I'm raising you from the dead. Evil has done its worst and been defeated. And that is incredibly important for our world, because that means that you and I can line up with God against evil in our world, and we can fight it knowing not just that we're doing something that's ultimately going to be futile, but that we are participating in the huge thing God is doing in our world of reconciling the whole world to God through Jesus. And because of that, we can be a part of the movement of God in our world of defeating evil, of ending suffering. And we can do that because of Jesus' resurrection. We can do that confident that because God has raised Jesus from the dead, we know that evil doesn't have the last word. We know that suffering is not the end. We know that there is a time when all this pain is going to stop. And so when you reach out to your neighbor in compassion and love, when we do things to make our world better, to relieve human suffering, to care for the needs of others, we are participating in the thing that God is doing that started in the resurrection of Jesus and that even now is continuing, of putting an end to evil, of bringing God's kingdom, of bringing God's reign. We do that when we participate with God in God's work in the world. We also know that in the resurrection of Jesus, God is saying that the life of God triumphs over death. I have a friend of mine whose father is very ill, and my friend was talking with me this week and telling me about his dad, and his dad was saying, you know, I'm in a lot of pain. I don't know that I'm going to be able to push through this. I don't know that I'm going to get better. I don't know that I'm going to turn a corner medically and begin to heal from that. And I was thinking about, as I was thinking about this week, what that means. One of the incredible things about Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the incredible gift that God gives us in the resurrection, is to know that death is not the end, that we don't have to be afraid of that, that we don't have to be terrified in the presence of that. It says in 1 John that Jesus has liberated us who were held in fear all our lives, held in slavery all our lives by our fear of death. And because Jesus has conquered death, because Jesus has been to the other side of death and has conquered it, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear of that. We know that even though our lives on this earth may end, we have life beyond this life because of Jesus, because of his resurrection, because of who he is. And so my friend's dad may get better, he may not. But the reality is, Jesus said, I have conquered death. I have conquered everything that held you in captivity, that held you in fear. And so you don't have to be afraid anymore. You can trust the power of my resurrection. Peter is there with Cornelius, and he's there with all these people who have summoned him there to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about this new life that has come about because of Jesus, because of his resurrection from the dead. And Peter says, all the prophets testify that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name. Mary does it much more simply. She goes to these others and she says just one thing. She says, I have seen the Lord. And I want to invite you that even as you experience in your own life what it means to live the resurrection of Jesus, what it means for you to have the risen Jesus living through your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, to testify to that, to be able to say to others, you know, I have seen the Lord. I believe in who Jesus is, and his life is giving me life. Amen.